A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much as always for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films. Whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, like I state on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. Now, this is a film I've been looking forward to ever since its first announcement. Most people who follow podcasts or YouTube channels for movie reviews will probably be familiar with Chris Stuckman. Starting on YouTube way back when, his voice and thoughts on films have been heard by many, myself included, and following a highly successful Kickstarter campaign, along with Neon picking this up, he's finally gotten the opportunity to release his own film, Shelby Oaks. As a fan of Chris's, this was all incredible news, and I really was both happy and excited for him to finally live that dream as an inspiring filmmaker to craft and release his own work. It's a tremendous journey and achievement, and he has my full applauds. And coming away from seeing his directorial debut, I think the guy has an exciting future ahead of him, albeit certainly room to grow, which I have no doubt that he will. Without jumping too far ahead, I thought Shelby Oaks was good, but it was just that, you know, good. Maybe I went in with a little too high expectation for the film. It satisfied me and I liked what we got, but I wanted just a little more, and I felt the script could have given me more if it maybe was a little more polished, especially in the film's third act. But even though I have these slight issues with the film, Shelby Oaks still delivers on its scares and gives the audience an interesting mystery to unpack. It's pretty much a perfect watch for spooky season, really. It has terrific atmosphere throughout on a backdrop of these haunting locations that's only uplifted through the suspense and tension that builds up the further the plot unravels. Also, was quite the fan of the blending of found footage and your traditional fictional storytelling. It piqued my interest in trying to find out what exactly has happened to this missing girl the film revolves around, and the found footage side of things was a real win in generating that anxiety that the film thrives on. It's a promising start for Chris. I definitely wanted to like it more than I did, don't get me wrong, but it's certainly a film that I'll throw out as a recommendation to people, especially around this time of year, just to see whether they get Stuckmanized or not. But before we proceed, just another quick thank you for clicking and spinning the podcast and episode. If you like what you hear and you haven't done so already, please hit the like and follow button. That way you'll never miss a beat and be updated when new episodes are live. Also, head over to Instagram and Facebook, give us a like and follow on there. And finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you're streaming. It helps a lot. It means a lot. And again, a massive thank you for all your support. A woman's desperate search for her long-lost sister falls into obsession upon realizing that the imaginary demon from their childhood may in fact be real. It is nice coming away from another good original story. It's hard at times to find anything that isn't a sequel or a reboot or a requel, and so a film like Shelby Oaks is a perfect match for anyone else in that same boat. It's also a film that will remind you of many other horrors and thrillers that you've seen before. Now, if any viewer watching this film doesn't know Chris's background and his love for film, you will certainly know that by the end of this film and just which ones have influenced him in the making of this. Whilst in a lot of cases I enjoyed the homages and nods to films that defined the horror genre and subgenre, there may be at times a little too familiarity in there, which is where the tropes creep in, as well that it's perhaps a little too predictable where the film is taking you on its journey. I really like the premise, don't get me wrong. You have this group of paranormal YouTubers, the paranormal paranoids as they're called, who go missing under suspicious and spooky circumstances, and then you have a sister who is determined to find out what happened, leading her into a dark and malevolent journey. I mentioned earlier how I was a fan of the blending of found footage and your traditional film style, and if anything, the found footage aspect was probably what I enjoyed the most. The first 30 minutes of this thing really set up the tone and vibe of the film, you know, watching this girl, Riley, explore these abandoned places such as a prison or an amusement park, and it just feels extremely unsettling. It's like you're waiting for the scare to hit, and at times with the found footage, it will deliver on this tension. It leaves you sweating, and that's again part of the film's thrill. Camilla Sullivan, as Mia, the older sister to Riley, who has now been missing for 12 years, was fantastic in this part. Really brought to life this character that had sacrificed everything from, you know, having kids or basically just a marriage, really, in the hope that she will one day find her missing sister. Added as well, she displayed real fear within the film and gets a lot of moments to showcase her range, even if at times her dialogue was a little weak. It's her story at the end of the day, and the film really rests on her, and you've got to give Sullivan props for being able to carry that responsibility, and her performance really tops that off. But where the story goes and the twists and turns it takes is where you find yourself picking away and wondering just why things went the way they did in here. I think I saw a review saying it's Blair Witch meeting Hereditary, obituary, and that's a very good way to describe this release. There's obviously something much more sinister at play with this disappearance, especially when Riley's fellow YouTube friends turn up dead, another moment in which the found footage side of the film delivered with its fear factor. But where Mia ends up by the film's finale left me with a lot of questions as to why exactly things played out the way that they did. The more you're left to sit on this thing, the more questions you have about whether it all actually made sense, from a narrative standpoint, that is. I like that Chris included some form of demonic entity that was pulling the strings. Like, you can really see those aspects of his life and childhood coming through, you know, due to him being formerly part of the Jehovah's Witness congregation, something that I know a little bit about myself through my own personal experience. But this demon's goal isn't exactly clear, or rather, who it wants felt very forced and came out of nowhere. Added as well that when you sit and look at the film story as a whole, knowing where it ends up at the end, it just seems a very long-winded approach for this demon to actually get who and what it wants, all things considered. I just thought, well, why didn't you just go for this person to begin with and not Riley? Which is where those disappointments creep in and the film buckles under all the ideas that it's laid out previously. It's still worth your time to watch, absolutely, and there's so many sequences I can't wait to go back and rewatch to try and find things, you know, hidden away that I might have missed first time round. There's these wonderful wide shots of, say, a forest in the dark, and you can just see, standing by a tree, the demonic figure, you know, claws out and waiting. And it's moments like that where you're like, oh shit, wait, was something there? Like, the film has a ton of moments like this, and I'm sure there'll be things I didn't pick up on first viewing. It's one of those where the film thrives on being less is more, to quote, letting the audience fill in these blanks, which at times really makes you uncomfortable with some of the imagery that you see, especially when Mia reaches this old house in the middle of the woods within Shelby Oaks. There's a lot of things in here that are truly unsettling, and again, works more so because it doesn't show the audience everything that transpired, just little nuggets or items linking to the horrors that occurred. Again, this is when the film is at its strongest. Added to that, the cinematography in this thing is truly exquisite. You know, cinematographer Andrew Scott Baird utilizes these locations to the film's strength in capturing some gorgeous shots, most notably when Mia is in this abandoned prison. The light bleeding in from the windows was a terrific touch, and the film, as I say, as a whole, just looks very, very impressive. As a first release, I think Stuckman has shown his potential and his talent enough that he will definitely get more opportunities, and I'd like to see him continue within the horror world. He could follow a similar path as James Wan, in which he starts in horror and then branches out into other genres. I feel he has enough to say and contribute, and I really hope that not only he gets these opportunities, but that Shelby Oaks is a success story when it's finished its theatrical run. Even with my disappointments and issues with this film, it's still one that I'll be happy to rewatch or even pick up on physical. But props to Chris, like truly, truly massive congratulations. His journey will no doubt inspire many, many more people, and that's something that he should indeed be proud of. But overall, with all the factors bringing into this one, I think I'm going to give this a 6.5 out of 10. I'm trying to be as fair and unbiased as I can because, like I say, I am a fan of Chris Stuckman. I really like his thoughts, his reviews. He does so much incredible work on YouTube, but as I say, I think there's definitely room to grow within his filmmaking career. But as a start, Shelby Oaks is truly, truly promising, and I cannot wait to see just what he cooks up and delivers next. But I'd love to know what you think of Shelby Oaks. Let me know if you've caught the film, what you liked, what maybe you thought could have been worked a little better. I just think it just needed a little more polishing for that final act, but overall, there is so much tension and great atmosphere that it really is a strong start for Chris Stuckman. As always, a massive thank you for clicking and spinning the podcast. I'll be back with more reviews, don't you worry. Until the next episode, take care.